Who is Vengeance? Who is Knight? Who am I talking about?
The bride from Kill Bill.
No. Why would she be the Knight?
Well, she's Vengeance.
But she's not the Knight.
Well, she's stroking the Knight sometimes.
Yeah, not exclusively.
She could be the... Okay, what's your point?
The point is that we're talking today about the one and only Batman.
Oh.
Today, we are talking about Batman.
Batman.
The character, how he has gone from Adam West all the way through Batfleck. And we will speculate wildly about the new Batman, who is, what's his name? The vampire.
Robert Pattinson. The Caped Crusader. Dark Knight. Vengeance, apparently.
The Silent Protector. The Watchful Guardian.
Oh, really? The Greatest Detective?
The World's Greatest Detective,
which
also
is stupid, because that's obviously J.B. Fletcher.
Oh, right. We talked
about from Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote. I any chance you get to bring her in, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see a crossover episode with Batman and J.B. Fletcher.
I would pay good money for that.
That would be a good episode, right?
I am excited, right? Just this prospect of that.
They've done a couple with, like, Batman and the Scooby Gang.
Yeah, and there's also Batman and, the Ninja Turtles right now.
Oh, okay.
That's brand new. That's out.
There's J.B. Fletcher and Magnum P.I., actually. So.
Oh, you want those two with Batman?
Well, I'm just saying she did a crossover, so I'm sorry. Oh. I'm fixated on J.B. Fletcher still.
I thought you were just telling me, like, this is who you want to be in the crossover episode. I'm just like, okay.
You guys were naming crossovers, so I thought I'd chip in with the one I knew about.
All right, I appreciate it. No, back to the Batman. Today we're talking about Batman himself. And we're also joined by special guests. Nicole, who are our special guests?
Today we are joined by the Brotherhood of Batman. Three brothers who love Batman, and that's what their brotherhood is bonded on. And they're going to join us in a second. But first, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. All right, let's make a Batman reference insert here.
Bang. Pow.
Kablam. Let's go.
Everybody, welcome to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. So, as we said, we have special guests today, and it is the Brotherhood of Batman. So let's talk to the brothers themselves. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Of course. No, thank you for joining us.
Yes, we're really excited to have you. So joined from the Brotherhood of Batman are Jake,
hi,
Ben, and Aaron.
Hello.
Can you guys please just really quickly introduce yourselves?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your podcasts.
Awesome. Well, we are three very different brothers who read Batman books and discuss Batman movies and cartoons. My name is Ben. I'm the sunshine into Gotham.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we've been reading through for the last year or so. We started about a week or so before your guys' podcast kicked off.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I do all the technical aspects, which is why it's not working today, because I didn't do it. But thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah, of course. What's it called? What's everybody's favorite comic book, Batman comic?
Well, that's a deep question.
Favorite Batman comic?
I don't like Batman. I like superheroes with bright colors.
Wow. Yeah, that's
pretty accurate.
Very, very bold statement to make on the Batman episode. I love it.
And I like all the dark and depressing stuff, so probably I would say year one would be where I'd, or Long Halloween.
Yeah,
between those two.
Oh, Long Halloween. I think Long Halloween would be my favorite of the Batman titles. Anybody else got anyone?
My favorite's Dark Victory.
Dark Victory is that's another good one.
So nice. Far out of what we read.
I like Teen Titans.
My favorite comic book is definitely the first one was great.
The first one was
I loved
the first
it.
Comic. No Archie, Nicole.
Oh gosh, I wish I could even say I like Archie.
Man,
I don't know.
Oh man, yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
Indeed, there is. Yes. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Exciting, actually.
So, yeah. And before we go on, actually, you guys sent us a recipe for a cocktail, which was. If I remember correctly, this is a remake of one of your favorite cocktails.
Yeah. So when we first met you guys and introduced what we do on our podcast, we try to do a themed drink for every episode that we do. And you guys gave us the idea of remaking one of our drinks that we wanted to try again. And so I remade the drink from our very first episode. Episode, it was titled Become a Bat. Tonight, it's Become a Bat Returns.
So. Oh, I like that.
Nice.
Yes.
And so it's gin, blue curacao, grenadine, lemon juice, and some simple syrup, all mixed up to be a dark, mysterious-looking night drink.
I think it's essence of Oswald Cobblepot in there as well, possibly.
Yes.
Yeah, with that nice purple and stuff. We made it. Hopefully we made it right.
Hopefully. I mean, I'm a big gin fan, so off the bat, I'm just like really excited to be drinking gin.
If it tastes like a purple
gin.
Popsicle, then you did it right.
Okay.
It's a little sweet, yeah.
We're about to clink on that one. Nicole has already been sipping.
All right, sorry.
So I guess everyone, we'll try to clink at the same time, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. 1, 2, 3. Ooh,
clinkety clink clink.
Yeah, so much clinking.
Very in sync. Successful, because we're all in the same room together.
Yes. So thank you guys for joining us again. I think we've thanked you like so many times right now. I guess it's a good time now to just jump right into the episode.
Today,
what are we doing, Nicole?
Batman. There's a lot to it. There's a lot past movies and TV because obviously just like Spider-Man, probably even more than Spider-Man, he's just fucking everywhere. Batman comes back, I feel, every 5 years. He's just reborn.
There's a lot of Batman because there's all the cartoons and everything. Like there's been a lot of different
Batman
that's also incarnations.
There's a lot.
You know, I have a game I put together for that if you're interested.
Really?
Yeah, I have a game for you guys. It's called Name That Batman. I have audio clips of 12 different Batmen, and curious to see how many you guys can identify.
Oh, okay, gosh. Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I think I can knock these out, please.
Yeah.
All right, so the first one, let's see if you guys can get this one.
I'm Batman.
Oh, that's like really, okay, that's like just like a little bite. Okay, I'm Batman. I don't know.
Was that George Clooney?
I have no idea.
Was it George Clooney?
I think it was Batman.
That's Adam West.
That's Adam West?
That's Adam West. All right, you guys are great.
All right. That's why they had us on, because we're the experts.
Awesome. All right, here's another one. Hopefully you'll get this one. This one's a newer, more recent. Ready?
I'm Batman.
Oh, that's Will Arnett.
Excellent, excellent.
Which I guess we should have put that in the list.
No.
Here we go, number 3.
I'm Batman.
Pretty sure that's Clooney, right?
That is Clooney.
That good sounds job. Like Clooney, yeah.
Good, huh? Good job, guys. Wow. But yeah, no, good game so far. I think 50%? I think, right?
Yeah, I think we did.
You're killing it.
But for people like me who kind of just know Batman and movies and TV and like everywhere I go, I don't really know that much about comic books. So I know he was created by Bob Kane because the movie that I watched today said so in the beginning credits.
Yes.
But that's about all I know.
Although there is some dispute about that.
See, already things I don't know about. So guys, please tell me a little bit about Batman comic book history.
Yes, well, guys. Going off of that, we literally just did an episode about a documentary that dives into how much Bob Kane actually did versus a gentleman named Bob Finger. So
Bill,
you're on a good...
Bill Finger?
Bill Finger, Bill. Same thing. Bill Finger. So that's actually the last episode we recorded goes into who created him. So you're at a good start there, Nicole.
Awesome. We'll put that in our show notes, too. We can link our audience directly to that episode.
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
It goes all the way back to Batman's conception in Detective Comics 27, 1939. And it talks about how...
Martha and Thomas got together?
No. It talks about how National Comics, the original DC title, approached creators trying to find another Superman, another tight-wearing crime stopper to keep selling comics. They were the biggest thing. Superhero comics were the highest-selling book to kids at that point in time. So he debuted all the way back then, and a year later got his own title, which introduced Joker and Robin in it, and then kind of the rest is history.
So you just summed up our podcast in less time than you talk about a beverage, Jake. Yeah, there's a lot of history about how it's changed over the years and how they've introduced more characters. And there's a lot of controversy over who was actually the creator of Batman. Was it Bob Kane on his own? Was it Bill Finger as a ghostwriter? Was he more of the creative force? The documentary goes into a lot more of Bill being very instrumental in creating a lot of the side characters, creating the Batman outfit and apparel that we know today. and some other terms and other things that go along with the Batman universe. So I think, you know, there's a lot of history that starts back in the mysterious time of the comic's origin, I guess. And so I think that also plays into some of the mythos of the darkness of Batman too.
And one thing that's really fun for the three of us is we're all so different and have different tastes and interests, but Batman is something that, especially in the comics, there's a lot of different versions. There's campy Batman, there's dark, depressing Batman, there's violent Batman, silly. So there's a lot of things for people to like. And so we really look at it from all the different angles. And some weeks they'll be like, oh, this is cute and fun, I love it. And then weeks where the other brothers get to enjoy things. So,
yeah, and you know, he's celebrating the 80th anniversary this year. So there's just a ton and ton of history. And like Ben said, different versions of the character that really fit to anybody's taste, I think.
Yeah. And then the Batman comic books, they've had like large lists of like great comic book writers, Alan Moore, Frank Miller, Grant Morrison. These are like big titans of the industry.
Okay.
That they've had over the years and stuff. But I think some of the other ones that come to mind, Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Jeff Loeb. Good call.
Scott Snyder. Everyone always somehow, some way, like they said, just is able to tell a different Batman story, because Batman is kind of, he's just a human in a mask. And that can take on lots of different shapes and forms. Like, what drives a person to put on a mask and fight crime, right? Everyone explores that different aspect of him. Mm. And I think that's what makes him such a fascinating character, which is why I think you're able to make so many movies. I think that's why DC and Warner Brothers constantly goes to Batman as the character that they keep making movies with, right? Because he's a human, and usually the movies tend to be about this, you know, we know the story, right? Mm-hmm. Boy is he's an orphan after some common criminals kill his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And after that moment, he decides right then and there to kind of, you know, avenge his parents, and in doing so he trains and becomes the Batman that we know today.
Okay. Something I really like is the contrast with Batman versus Bruce Wayne, and how the different stories, be them comics or movies, really look at, is he Batman pretending to be Bruce Wayne, or is he Bruce Wayne pretending to be Batman? I'm excited to get into the different portrayals, because I think some of the movies deal with Bruce better and some of the movies deal better with Batman. I think it's really hard to get someone that can play them both.
There's a language, I guess, that you could say that all the Batman have, and that would be, so these are going to be your basic setups, right? We know his origin story, that his parents were killed, and he from there becomes like, you know, going on this life of crime fighting.
He's out for blood.
He doesn't kill. Different Batman will have different morals, but yeah, for the most part, it's Batman does not kill. Next thing is he has all the gadgets, the bat suit, very common. The Batmobile is also very common.
Mm-hmm.
He will have other forms of transportation in other movies, but like the Batmobile is his most iconic ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always different.
It is always different, yeah. The Bat Signal is the other thing that I say is like very common in the Batman storylines. And Gotham City, the setting, and the fact that he is a millionaire, because that's an important thing, that he is a millionaire. A white millionaire, no less.
Yes, it makes life a lot easier for him.
So yeah, so those are like some of the big, big, important like things that all these Batman movies.
Is he a heterosexual?
He is a heterosexual.
Yes. That's debatable. No, I'm kidding. He is. He's always got his ladies.
I mean, that's not true. I mean, if you listen to that crazy quack in the '60s, I think, or '50s, who wrote, you know this, Nicole?
Yeah, The Seduction of the Innocent.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. He did always have a lot of dick around him, though.
Okay, so 1966, the original Batman television show comes out. They did one full season, and then 2 months after the season finale, they released the theatrical film. And they had most of the villains that were in the movie were in the TV show, except the only person who wasn't there was Lee Merriweather as Catwoman. In the original first season, it was Julie Newmar. And over the course of Batman, three different actresses will play her, but that's just movie stuff. The plot of Batman the movie, 1966, is really confusing, but one that is nonetheless fun. It has kind of like a MacGuffin thing where it's like this Hitchcockian term where, you know, the villains are after something that we don't really know what it's about, but they really want it and we don't want them to get it. So it's a MacGuffin. Right. But it's apparently they kidnapped Commodore Schmidlab and a ship because he has this dehydration tool that can suck out the lives of all the people in the United Nations so that they can rule the world.
It wasn't the official United Nations. They had a different name for it.
Well, it was, yeah, because yeah. I don't think, yeah.
Is the United Nations like trademarked or something?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Good question.
Probably. I don't think they wanted any evil doers to get ideas on dehydrating the actual United Nations. Change the name.
But, I mean, this first Batman started big, four villains, and it had the Joker by Cesar Romero, it had the Penguin by Burgess Meredith, who is my favorite, it had the Riddler by Frank Gorshin and Lee Merriweather as Catwoman, and it had Batman and Robin, so it had a full cat, it had a lot.
Wait, who did Burgess Meredith pay?
No, Burgess Meredith was the Penguin.
I thought he was the Riddler.
No, that's Frank Gorshin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's really important is that the Joker had a mustache. That's what really matters from that.
Joker had a mustache that he refused to, yes.
Yes, he refused to cut it off for this role. Mm-hmm. So, and the Joker, I love how the Joker in this one is very much just there. Mm. Like, he's not really adding or contributing anything to the movie. He's just there to laugh and say, aye, aye, Captain. Like, the Penguin's running the fucking show. And I really love absolutely. That.
Penguin and Catwoman.
Yes, thank you. I love Catwoman in this movie.
She's good.
Really good line delivery. Her full name in Russian is fantastic.
What is her full name in the Russian? You know,
Katya Yaganova. What's her name? That's a drag queen.
Some drag queen should take this name.
Yekaterina Petrovna Zamolatchikova. But your friends can call her Katya. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes. Katya, love it. I'm on board.
Miss Kitka.
They're referencing Drag Race.
Oh.
So this Batman is very dependent, I think, on his relationship with Robin. They're very much a crime-fighting duo in this one. Uh-huh. And I think that this Batman is more of a detective. He's kind of PC. He's very by the books. He's overly friendly. Like,
they're
it's just
deputized.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, so they're just like pals of the law, uh-huh. but they have that classic 60s delivery. It's just so much fun, you know. Like, this movie, like when it begins, they have this title that says, you know, like, this is dedicated to people who just like to have fun. You know, like, we're not going to take it too seriously. We want to have fun with this movie.
Their minimum objective must be the entire world.
And here are the dastardly villains. The Catwoman.
Oh, you're going to see the perfect crime when I get Batman in my claws.
The Joker.
Have you heard this one? It'll kill you, Batman.
The Penguin.
There are two eggs this wily bird is going to scramble. Batman and Robin.
The Riddler.
Question, who's going to make the feathers fly and knock Batman and Robin out of the sky?
And I kind of love that. And Rolando apparently hates it. What did you guys think of Adam West as Batman?
Hey, what did you guys think?
I love a fun Batman.
It's one of my favorite Batman movies overall, just because of the slapstick over the top cheese of it.
Yes.
Burgess Meredith it's and so Cesar Romero are by far the best things in that movie. The Penguin is fantastic. Just the sheer goofiness of some of the gadgets and the over-the-top acting, I think, just makes it fabulous. The rest of the TV show has a lot of other villains that didn't make the cut. Would probably be your or E-list villains if we're talking about tiered in the Batman universe. You've just got some really odd characters. And so I think it's worth checking that out, too, if you enjoyed the 66 movie.
Yeah, the three of us grew up watching that movie. I mean, I remember it, you know, on in the house a lot, when I wasn't paying attention to it. And it's like a live-action cartoon. It's just there to be fun and be entertaining. It doesn't take itself seriously. It has bright colors. Yes. It has a fun time with a bomb. And but, you know, as I grew older and got into comics more, I realized how accurate to the time of comic books that the movie actually was. Like, the stuff that they're doing in the movies, the jokes and the gags, is the same stuff that was on the page that you'd pick up in your comic book newsstand. And so it's really close adaptation of what was happening.
That actually makes me really happy to hear, because a lot of people are like, this isn't Batman. This isn't the Batman that they were familiar with. But like at the time, it was taking its stuff right from the source material.
Which I'll give you guys that. Yeah, for the time, it was definitely, you know, using the source. However, I think for me, obviously, I was born in 1989. The Batman that I grew up with would be the next Batman movie that we'll be talking about. I think for me, as someone who, as I was growing up, and I would try to watch the show and even the movie, I think I just never got into it. The bright colors are fine and all, but I think I just never got so much into the storylines and stuff. Maybe they were just a little too, I guess, like, kiddie for me.
Not like to have fun, Rolando?
And even like when I was trying to rewatch it today, like, this is the one movie that I really try to make myself sit down and kind of watch and kind of like try to just get through. Because I have issues with some of the other Batman movies, but this is the one that I just can't, like, the story made no sense. I guess, like, me as someone who loves, like, I enjoy plot, the story makes no sense.
Yeah, this is not the movie for you.
I could forgive all the crazy gadgets.
Story makes perfect sense. You're crazy, dude.
There's certain points. What's the point? He had the shark repellent.
Yeah.
Like that gag and the sharks explode. Did they ever explain why everything explodes?
Why did they need to explain it? It's a fucking fantasy movie.
I agree, Nicole. You tell
I don't know. I feel like things need some sort of logic, I feel like.
But we're also like watching this caped crusader and like a dehydration machine. Some of the stuff that they're getting through, you accept, but you need the shark repellent explained? No, I'm sorry.
The shark repellent should be explained. I can like forgive the dehydration machine.
What is there to explain? There were sharks. He needed to repel them.
But why did they explode? Did they explain that? I genuinely don't remember that.
I think it's a great Batman for kids. I think it's a good movie to show the kids and get them into that world. I think it's also good for older people for nostalgia. I do agree, though, that it's obviously not like a modern Batman. It's not what people know now. It's not the same world.
Yeah.
But it's a good segue. Batman, now, I think.
It hasn't aged well, but no, that is also what's so charming about it. You kind of just have to accept it for what it is and like be more open to it, I feel like. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But so, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw this to you guys since you guys read the comics. But have you guys read the new comics that are based off of the Adam West universe?
I have not read them too much. I know it's the 66 Batman comic that's come out. Jake, have you read any of the 66 Batman comics?
Our spouses did a recap on one of those issues where they did meet Archie. So, but yeah, that's about the extent we've had of that.
And so I haven't read the comics, but I did watch the Batman animated movies where Adam West reprised his role as Batman. Burt Ward.
Yeah, Burt Ward.
He reprises, you know, you had the whole cast kind of reprise their roles, and they were able to take kind of the campiness of the original ones and still kind of tell me a good story though, and
did
I think that's kind of what
Two-Face one.
Yeah, the Two-Face one, for example, I appreciated that one where I think that's the last performance we have with Adam West as Batman before he passed away.
Yeah,
and that was a good one. That was an enjoyable one. It wasn't by any means great, but it was still respectful to the original, the original series, and you had that kind of campiness. But, like, you still were able to kind of tell me, like, a beginning to end, like, an actual coherent story, which I just did not get from these. And I guess I've always been more, like, storyline-driven as, like, a film goer and stuff.
I see.
You know what I mean? And even usually when I complain about, like, that's why I complained so much about The Dark Crystal not that long ago, because
I just started that episode.
plotline. But plotline is just, like, it was just boring.
I'm the exact opposite. I don't need a story. I just want fun characters that I like, and I want things that make me laugh and cry. And but I totally agree, as far as story wise it's not the strongest Batman.
And at the end of the day, if you want a good story, then pick up a motherfucking book. But like, if you want to watch a good film with cool visuals, then like, you don't necessarily, all of those elements don't need to align, and a story isn't the most important part. It's what you're watching.
I don't know, I feel like film should tell a story.
I'm not watching
a music video.
Well, that's not the only two things. It's not like film with a story and music video. There are things that can.
I've never been attracted to, like, I don't know, 60s pop, like pop art and everything. Like, and as aesthetic, I've understood it. But like, when it comes to like actual watching the entertainment that came from it, I've never been I've never connected with that kind of media.
We didn't really talk about Robin. He's not in every movie.
Oh, he's so cute this one with his little short shorts.
He's so cute. The twink. He's got a little temper on him, but he's great. And he just, like, he's very much, he's not even the yin to Batman's yang. They're so similar. They just, like, complete each other, like, how they solve riddles together.
Mm-hmm. He's very useful. He's the only one that solves the riddles, actually.
Yeah, he's, almost as, like, way smarter in some ways than Batman. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and like, I think in this Batman particular too, it's very much like this buddy film.
Yes.
Which is really nice because a couple of films down the road, we're going to get some angsty shit going on with like some male egos. But in this one, they're like fucking, they're best friends. They're fucking, you know?
What?
Yeah, and I really appreciate it.
Even so. Batman and Robin are out to have a good time in the movie. Like, that's all they want to do.
Speaking of Burt Ward, Eddie, do you want to add anything to this?
No.
No? All right, okay. Fine. Well, I'll add it. Apparently, Burt Ward is, like, massively hung and, like, had to wear, like, special padding to, like, hide his, like, his junk.
Ooh, fun fact.
Apparently, like, yeah, Eddie showed me the cover to his biography, and it's, like, a crotch shot.
Really?
Yeah. I'll be sure to put a link to that
on
our show
notes.
Show
notes. Yeah, people want to see that.
Learn something new every
Moving
day.
Along. Yeah.
I don't think he had much else going for him other than being Robin. And I think he tried to capitalize on that fame for as long as he could.
Being Robin and having a big dick. I mean, I'd be okay Holy with hung. Like, yeah, I'd be okay with that. That's my legacy, so be it.
All right, so 1989, Tim Burton is approached by John Peters and Peter Guber, two producers who created this whole fucking Batman phenomena in 1989. They went out of control with their marketing campaign. Apparently, the summer of 1989 was known as Batmania because it was literally everywhere. These guys spent $750 million worth of merchandise to market the film.
Makes sense.
That's a lot.
And it paid off. It's a fucking lot. Yeah, apparently anyone who was alive during that era very much remembers how Batman was just everywhere. Uh-huh. And so Batman...
They had to pay Jack Nicholson somehow, some way.
Yes.
His contract was sick. I think for the longest time, he was like the highest paid actor of all
time. He was, yes. But so Batman comes out in June of 1989 with Michael Keaton, who people were shocked about because he was Beetlejuice. Like, mm-hmm. What the hell is he doing in a serious film?
Mr. Mom.
Mm. And then Jack Nicholson, who, again, like, really? But I think actually did a really great job. And he, like, insisted he got top billing. He got, like, a crazy salary. He got to predict. He got to call the shots on, like, when he got to film. Like, he's like, we're shooting this on my schedule, guys.
Hey, fucking Jack Nicholson.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. You better believe they're going to, yeah.
That's, like, insane. But, I mean, you know, he did a good job. I actually, like, a lot of people, I don't know how everyone feels on the Jack Joker thing.
I think Jack Nicholson is still, like, a favorite of the Joker performances.
I think so. It's setting up, you know, it's telling the Batman story all over again. So we get an origin story. Mm-hmm. We're introduced as if we don't know who Batman is. And Batman is this, played by Michael Keaton, multimillionaire Bruce Wayne. And Vicki Vale is a journalist who's trying to uncover something and stumbles across Bruce Wayne, fucks him, and then wants to figure out who Batman is. And then at the same time,
Vicki Vale's trying to take photos.
She's just trying to live her life.
You know, she's trying to capture all the crime and the death that's going on in Gotham City because for some reason, crime and death is just happening in Gotham City.
It goes hand in hand in Gotham.
Gotham City, yeah.
Yeah. And then at the same time, Jack Napier was pushed into a fucking can of, I don't even know what, but survived and became
acid,
the Joker.
Yeah. No, it was like Axis Chemicals.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
But gotta love it. Because this is also another very campy film. But, you know, it's funny because I've always referred to Tim Burton as an expressionist filmmaker. You know, so he likes to make, like, weird, warpy, like, kind of looking like alternate universes of our world. So his Gotham looks really fucking weird. Really, like, almost like you're in a painting. Yeah.
Yeah, his literal rule when they were, like, creating the sets and stuff, and, like, when they were, like, creating the city line, was, like, they want to create an architecture of a city that just had no laws. So everything is supposed to look more, more impeding upon
yeah,
you, right?
Yeah.
Like scary, like, you know, like these buildings can topple on you at any moment because mm-hmm. there's, you know, if you are designing a city, you're trying to build a city, this building is to kind of go inward, not outward.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, for safety reasons and stuff. So it had a very specific style that it I did. Think is, it just lives with it. And the other specific style with the show was like, they had like this thing, you just couldn't tell like what era they were in because of the cars they were using, the way they dressed. It had like this timelessness.
Mm-hmm. So is this movie kind of concerned with being comic book accurate?
Tim Burton was very outspoken about how he wasn't going to make a comic book movie. He didn't want to read mm-hmm. any comic books before doing the movie. He was going to put his own spin on what he knew about Batman from growing up and what had already been in pop culture enough already. And so it was an influence, you know, from a little bit from the Dark Knight Returns that came out 3 years before that. That's kind of the big comic book that put Batman back into the darkness after the campy 70s. And then he helped spin Batman even further into being the creature of the night, the guy in the shadows. You know, with his style on this movie combined with Frank Miller's comic book, that changed the entire comic book feel going forward.
Oh.
Yeah, The Dark Knight Returns is like I guess it's like must read when it comes to like Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that one again down the road here.
Yeah. For important reasons because of Zack Snyder, but continue, please.
Well,
tell us some more about
It really seems like he's not concerned with the comic book, especially in his follow-up film, Batman Returns, because of his portrayal of the Penguin. But I really feel like, regardless, these are pretty entertaining, strong films just because of his approach.
Yes.
What did you guys think about Michael Keaton as Batman?
Kill me, man! Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Michael Keaton can step aside because it's all about the gay awakening of Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Yes.
I think Michael Keaton is a good Batman. I was never really sold on his Bruce Wayne because I think Bruce Wayne should be really sexy. And I think Michael Keaton's kind of derpy. But I think he plays a good Batman.
I agree.
Well, I think his derpiness worked as Bruce Wayne. I think it was a clueless Bruce Wayne that we don't get very often. Like, it's two personas, and he did that really well, and I think that's why Burton wanted him, was that Keaton has the ability to play two different characters at the same time on screen.
One's just not sexy.
And, you know, like, I was too young to know that Keaton was a comedy actor before that, but, you know, so when I saw it, that was my Batman, and that suit was, like, the only thing I knew Batman should look like. And so I've grown up being, he was my Batman.
Yeah, the black with the stark yellow is very memorable and very.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool.
Yes. Let's talk about that suit because that suit is what makes that Batman so memorable. Yeah. Like, aside from this color scheme, which is straight up just black, it's also how they build the suit up to kind of make Michael Keaton look more intimidating.
Yeah.
Right? The way they added the padding and stuff to, like, kind of give him more broader shoulders, the cape design, everything. That suit is, like, when I think of Batman, I think to this day, I still think of that suit first.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like a superhero.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Compared to Adam West, who was just in tights and it was very, like, you could see his figure and he wasn't that fit.
Oh, that was the most unflattering.
Not very
costume.
Intimidating. That was the only strike I would give against Adam West. Other than that, he was pretty perfect.
Yeah, I think the only strike I would give the Batman Tim Burton movies and the ones, the next few that would follow is the fact that, like, his cowl, Michael Keaton, the actor, whoever it was acting as Batman, could not move his neck. So he would always have to, like, shift his whole shoulders. And it would look weird on camera. So you rarely see, like, Michael, like, the character, like, having to, like, move his head for that very reason. Like, he'd have to move his whole shoulder.
Huh.
Well, there's a point where he rips the mask off and he can actually, like, move his head around a little bit when he reveals he's Bruce. And it just shows how much more he couldn't move it the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that scene is such a heartbreaking scene when, like, Selina's going to die.
Aww.
Or she's going to kill, she's committing suicide, but
one thing
she had nine lives. She had one life left.
One thing this suit was lacking for me, though, was nipples. And I really feel like it would have been stronger if this suit had some nipples on it.
I agree.
I'm joking. Hello.
The nipple wouldn't appear for like another couple of movies, I think, at that point,
right? It's true.
It needed more ass shots, which we get a little later.
We do get some. We get some. No, we got some ass shots in that one, in Tim Burton.
In the first one?
Yeah, you get some. You get some side butt of him putting on the stuff.
Which one do we get? We prefer Batman or Batman Returns?
Oh, that's a good question. What do you guys think?
I think Batman, the first one, is a better movie, but Returns with him and Catwoman is so, I think that's the best version of those two together that we ever get. So to me, I prefer their relationship, but I think Keaton and Joker is just as, if not more, important.
I would agree.
I actually couldn't agree more.
I agree with you guys too. Like the Michael Keaton and Selena Kyle, Michelle Pfeiffer, like they're much more quotable too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't eat a mistletoe a mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it. And then she's just like, but a kiss could be deadlier if you mean it.
Yeah.
You mentioned Danny DeVito. I think that if we're comparing the comics to the movies, I do think one of you referenced Penguin being a big change. The Penguin in this is like monstrous. And in the comics, for the majority of the comics, he is a businessman. And they get a little into it with the movie of him running for mayor and everything, but he looks like deformed, and the comics go back and forth on his portrayal of that. They change it a lot.
Yeah. And I personally prefer the deformed Penguin. What do you guys prefer as like readers of the comics?
I think Penguin was really underutilized for years until the No Man's Land storyline, where he...
a good storyline.
Yeah, and his undermining and his plotting comes to fruition when the city goes to hell. Penguin ends up basically running it and running the black market that keeps everybody surviving. And I think that's a really good story for that creature who's been in that balance of, you know, he could be a political mover. He could be as high as Bruce Wayne if he strove for it. But he's also beaten down because of his appearance. And that's not something he can control. Mm-hmm. And he becomes a villain based on a lot of that.
It's true. That's what sometimes drives me to be mean, my appearance. So I can relate.
But I will say, as magnificent of a job Danny DeVito did, I still think that Burgess Meredith is the Penguin of my heart because he was just... No, he was great. And that it's just great.
They both have fun umbrellas.
They do. The umbrella game is just...
And at least Burgess Meredith waddles.
Waddles.
He did waddle very well.
These movies also, we talked about Batman having love interest, because I think that's one thing that all these movies have struggled with going forward, giving a love interest to Batman. Usually, you know, you either go with Catwoman, or further down the line, they'll write original characters.
Yeah,
you kind of need the duality, like how Bruce and Batman have the duality. You need someone that can play off that. Otherwise, it's just a love interest for one of them. Like, you just have Bruce with a love interest. That's why I think Catwoman works so well, because she also has two parts.
Yeah.
Yes. That definitely.
Speaking of love interest, I think that's a good time to talk about a movie that focused specifically on Batman and his love interest, Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Batman: Mask of the Phantasm, it is a theatrical release of a movie. It's a movie version of based off of the TV show Batman: The Animated Series. Came out in December 1993, which is kind of why it didn't perform well. I don't know if anyone here has seen the movie in the theater when it came out.
Anybody? I'm pretty sure we definitely did. I also had it as I don't know, 8-year-old birthday party or something at my house with like three friends. I was like, you're going to watch this movie because it's epic.
Aww. It is. No, I agree. I remember living in the Bronx and going to see this movie. I think Christmas Day or the day after Christmas with my family, but we saw it that weekend. And I love this movie. This movie's great. It's got performances from Kevin Conroy, who is my Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's got voice performance from Mark Hamill as the Joker, and then other
people. Who is the Joker?
who is, I agree, he is the Joker, for a whole generation. So, quick synopsis. This movie really focuses on, it's a retelling of Batman's origins, mm-hmm. kind of relating to, connecting it with, like, his love life.
Yeah.
Batman has a woman that he's in love with, and he's trying to decide, like, is he going to pursue... Andrea Beaumont. If he's going to pursue a relationship with her or become a vigilante.
Yeah.
And eventually, she makes a decision for him, and as a result, he becomes Batman. She comes back into his life during a series of serial murders, mm-hmm. and eventually, he comes to discover that the murderer is his long-lost love. And
spoiler.
Spoiler.
Yeah, big spoiler alert. What?
And it all comes to a head featuring the Joker.
Now, I know it's not that important, but how was she able to, like, just puff smoke and disappear?
What's more important is the shoulder pads. She makes herself and those, yeah, a large man.
And that really voice box. Like, honey. Box, yeah. Yeah. Like that. I mean, if she went down the runway with that, I'd be like, holy fuck, I'm scared.
She's like, down the runway. Yes.
Yes. But I actually just watched this film today for the first time. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
This is a good one.
There's this scene where, I mean, I felt really bad for him because I almost felt as if his parents, like, demanded that he get all this justice. So he's literally there in front of their grave pleading with them.
I know I made a promise, but I didn't see this coming. I didn't count on being happy.
I wasn't counting on being happy. I don't know what to do. And I was like, oh my God, honey. No, stop. Like, go live your life.
That's true. Yeah. And then you have Andrea there kind of saying, she's like, they sent me, obviously. This is why I'm here in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And that was really sweet. And I felt really bad for him. And then, something happens. And then he gets angry. And then he becomes Batman and all this stuff.
She literally breaks off the engagement. Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't that drive you for revenge?
Read between the lines, dude. Like, of course, something's up.
He is also really, he seems hyper focused on, like, trying to stop crime and stuff. So he just needed an excuse to, like,
I think he was just looking for an excuse. He got it and he ran with it. Yeah.
This is actually my favorite of all the Batman movies.
Why?
I'm gonna cover. It's outside of the great voice performances. I think it's kind of the connection of giving Bruce Wayne an actual love story that isn't Catwoman. It's kind of tragic. They both are in a way the same person.
Okay.
Right. And I think just her bring down, she's able to just bring him down with, like, just some lines that are great. Like when he asks her about her father, and she's just like, the only one here taking orders from their parents is you.
Burn.
She also brought him down by kicking his ass in the garden too.
Also true. And then the other great line is, like, when he's, like, pleading with her, it's like, you know, vengeance, what will vengeance solve? And she's just like, you should know, bitch. Like, that's literally her reaction. She is my favorite love interest for him, because I think she is obviously what Bruce Wayne would be if he kind of crossed that line of murdering.
Oh, I thought you meant cross that line of becoming a woman.
Or that. It's true.
Yeah. Well, she makes the most sense, too, next to Catwoman. I mean, she wouldn't be who she was without the loss and without the tragedy that she went through the exact same way that Bruce did. And so they completely understand each other. They're just going about it a different way. And it's very tragic.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Batman movie as well. I agree. Yeah.
I think it's just a way to explore his psyche. Of, like, what kind, because you're right, that scene where he's, like, pleading with his parents, it shows a very demented man who is on this quest to, like, create justice.
Tormented.
He's tormented from his own making.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why Alfred is always there just begging him, just like, just let go of this, go be in love, go be normal.
No, for sure. And it was actually a really, like, bitter ending. I won't even say bittersweet when, like, she escaped. Mm-hmm. Obviously, and you just see her, like, escaping on an ocean liner, and he's like, do you want to be alone? And she's like, I am alone.
Oh, thank you. That is one of my favorite lines too in the movie.
And I was like, oh my gosh, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that was like, but, like, appropriate.
The movie really looks at the sacrifice that Batman and people around him have to make. Like, Bruce has to, he can't be with someone. If he was ever going to be with someone, it would have been this movie, and it really strips down that it's not going to happen. She has to give it up too. And y'all mentioned Alfred. I really like that, because throughout most of these movies, we do get a strong Alfred helping Bruce, but also trying to push him into a happier life.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, and if anyone's going to know about Batman, it ain't going to be Vicky Vale. It's going to be this girl.
Oh, Vicky Vale, when she's like, you know, she comes down to the Batcave.
How did, like, why?
Because Alfred let her in. Alfred was a bad Alfred.
You know? Like, no, but don't.
The future is something also that kind of gets played here a lot, right? Mm-hmm. They're in the past, like, they're visiting the world of the future. And then when we're in the present and you see that future, it's kind of corroded and destroyed. And it's kind of, like, symbolic of, like, their relationships with each other, right?
Yeah.
It's all kind of shit. But also, you know, the performances from Mark Hamill as a Joker was just fucking...
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things that I was surprised about was how good the Mark Joker Hamill was. I hadn't really seen the animated show in a long time. I watched it growing up, and I was blown away by how actually, like, horrifying he was.
So. Yeah, he goes all over the board. He's very funny. He's very scary. Like, you get every depth of Joker with this performance.
You did, yeah. And it's just, like, just untamed wildness. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
This is one of my favorite movies. It's also the shortest one out of all the ones that we've covered.
It is. So. Very tight, but good, like you say, storytelling, which is so
this
important. Is,
and that's why I love this one. I think it's excellent storytelling.
Yeah, and good animation. Mm-hmm. Really good animation.
So let's flash forward to a few years later.
...1995, Batman Forever. After the low returns on merchandise from Batman Returns, the studio dumped Tim Burton and got Joel Schumacher to come and lighten up the movies to bring in some very colorful villains and to make it more of a child-friendly film that they could sell toys to. And basically, they got Ben to buy every single action figure, they got me to buy every single vehicle, and so it worked. They introduced Two-Face in the Riddler and then a very forward-thinking Nicole Kidman as the love interest.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Dr. Meredith Walker.
Chase Meridian. Yeah. Yeah, that merchandise fucking worked. I had posters on my wall and I so badly wanted a Nicole Kidman poster because, like, if you remember, she's, like, bent over and you can very clearly see her breasts.
Yeah,
because
she's wearing like that, like, that nightie.
Yes,
that she had. Yeah,
she,
like,
calls
him
to the bat signal wearing lingerie. Yeah, that's great.
Yes,
friendly.
My favorite.
Mind you, she's a doctor.
Okay. But my mother wouldn't let me have it, so I had to have the Val Kilmer poster in my room. Ugh, such a bummer. Indeed. It was so, the greatest disappointment of my youth.
Without, you know, and then they finally introduced the first Robin since Burt Ward into the films. Something that was supposed to happen back in Burton's movies, but they never got to it. And he's not quite the child hero that we all were familiar with. He's more of a punky teenager.
Every gay man's dream.
A man-child? Oh,
I was
really?
Just going to say that we rewatched part of this movie today, and neither he nor Val Kilmer were as attractive as I remembered them, and I was very disappointed. But I do like the random scene where he's, like, using the mop or whatever, or is, like, wringing out his, like, shirts in the laundry and Alfred's
watching
it.
That is, yes, that is, yes.
I was like, get it, Alfred, get it. Not really, sorry. Yeah. Take it back.
No, I don't know. Chris O'Donnell could still get it on my end. That's just me. Memories aside, no, he was just hot. I mean, he's definitely part of the reason why I am gay today, just because, like, he was so, like, especially when he came out in his full Robin gear. He was so dreamy.
I will say that this Batman,
Chris O'Donnell, made you gay, whereas Michelle Pfeiffer, a woman, but being really fierce, made me gay. That's really confusing. I like it.
Yeah, I like that too.
I love that. But I will say, for me, Val Kilmer is also probably the earliest example of me recognizing the difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman. Because his Bruce Wayne, I thought, was, even though it was more like kind of cold, like his relationship and why Edward Nygma kind of went off the deep end because of, like, his adoration of him and just his delivery to Edward Nygma, and then Edward Nygma being like, oh my God, my life. I felt like Bruce Wayne was very different from who he was as Batman. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying that at the end of the day, he's the one that really kind of made a difference between the two of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a riddle for you. For me.
Really?
Tell me.
I see without seeing. To me, darkness is as clear as daylight. What am I?
Please! You're as blind as a bat!
Exactly.
Yeah, Joel Schumacher's approach is just so different.
Oh, so different.
His expressionist style and stylization of his Gotham is way more colorful, way campier.
Yay, colors.
And I actually think, yay. I think it's more fun at the end of the day. I actually quite like Batman Forever.
Oh,
and I think Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face and Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Robin Williams was supposed to play him originally.
Oh, yeah, he was. What?
Who was?
I'm actually glad that didn't happen.
Robin Williams was supposed to play Riddler.
Oh.
No, that would have been terrible.
Originally.
He also wanted to be the Joker and was turned down for that originally.
Yeah, I agree. That wouldn't have been good. But I do think that Tommy Lee Jones was really, really fun and really, really did it good. And I think, what was his name in the first? Billy
Jake,
D.
Do you have something to say about that?
I hate that Two-Face. I'm sorry.
Really? Why? Tell.
So Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey famously hated each other and could not stand one another on the set. And Tommy Lee Jones was going to play the character straight. Yeah, and he was going to play the character straight. And then when Jim Carrey came on, Jim Carrey was the biggest thing in the 90s, the mid 90s. He had movie after movie after movie. And so Jim Carrey's playing Jim Carrey. And Tommy Lee Jones was like, anybody can do that. Watch. And he hams it up to the level that he did.
Wow.
And I want a serious, dark, mean Two-Face because he's supposed to be the same version of Batman. He's, the closest to
I
Batman.
Believe in Harvey Dent.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree with you. Because keep in mind, like up until this point, the Two-Face that I knew was the one from the animated series, which was a much more serious take on Two-Face.
Yeah, and with a history with theaters, Batman.
Yeah, and then when you watch this one, it's just like, it is can't be an over the top. I remember I did not like this Two-Face when I saw it as a kid. I like this Two-Face now as an adult, kind of watching it and seeing Tommy Lee Jones really ham it up. Drew Barrymore on one side.
Yes.
I forgot the other girl.
I forgot her too.
The other lady.
She's not as important because Drew Barrymore was there.
Drew Barrymore, just like, she actually gets billing.
Yeah. And she's in like four scenes.
But no, Tommy, I mean, yeah, I agree with you though. This performance is atrocious. The writing is awful. But man, that performance is just so memorable. As is Jim Carrey's. Like when he's like just bombing the shit out of the Batcave. What's the one scream?
he's
like
that one moment.
He's just like, joygasm. Lovely. Great performance.
Well, his suit is like rhinestone too, isn't it? Like he's very extra.
Oh, yes. He's like every gay man's fantasy also with his outfits. Just like all the sequins, all the glitter. I mean, he did have some really memorable outfits. If I could fit in his outfits, I would wear them for my own wedding. That's a fact.
Okay. Well, so Schumacher did, just like Burton, two movies. Only his second film, his follow-up, didn't have Kilmer in it.
Yeah. Who'd they have?
Well, they had
George
Mr. ER himself, George Clooney.
Mr. ER.
Mr. ER. Yeah, apparently Schumacher and Kilmer hated each other, and Kilmer like practically walked off the
set. Wow, there was so much drama on this set.
So much drama. Yeah.
I want to watch like a behind-the-scenes movie about this.
Yes.
They should make one.
Right, all the Batman switching.
Well, I'll do it with you, Rolando.
Yeah. That'd be great. So, all right, we're going to talk about Batman and Robin next?
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, we got some bat nipples in Batman Forever, right? There was mild bat nipples in that movie. This is the movie.
Yeah, very mild.
Really,
they were like this, yeah.
Batman and Robin is the one that really dove full on into the super gay rubber fantasy of bat nipples. We see Batman and Robin doing their thing. We get some new villains. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Everyone chill.
As Mr. Freeze. We get Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy, which had me all excited because she was my favorite from the comics and the cartoon. And we get a very useless, almost brain dead version of Bane, who in the comics is super intelligent. And Jake's freaking out wanting to talk about that. And basically, they just are villains who want to take over Gotham again. and they really camp it up. So they take the outfits and the color from Batman Forever, but now there's like corny lines and there's jokes. And we get Batgirl, who is Alfred's niece instead of Commissioner Gordon's daughter. And she's the chick from Clueless. Alicia Silverstone. Thank you.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So it's a super fun, super crazy movie that killed the franchise for a very long time.
Yeah,
that's my recap.
Does anyone like this movie?
I like Schwarzenegger in this movie because it was so stupid.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
Yes.
I like Uma Thurman in this movie.
I like Uma too. Yeah.
If I rewatched this as an adult, the very crazy adult that I am now, I would like this movie.
Yeah,
I liked it as a kid. I liked it as a kid and then realized I wasn't supposed to. So I was like, it's bad. Mm. But now if I watched it would probably be one of my favorites. But I don't like really George Clooney. Let me throw that out there.
Yeah, he's not a good Batman.
He's not a good Batman, but he was like, he is attractive.
But vengeance isn't power. Anyone can take a life. But to give life, that's true power. A power you once had.
No, I actually, it's so funny. When I was a kid, how I did not like necessarily the other Batman, Batman Forever, mm-hmm. as much. This one I actually enjoyed more so. Hmm. I think it was all the bright colors and all that lighting and all strobe lighting. It just like got to me.
Yes.
Because that is just like, that is a Technicolor nightmare.
Yes.
That movie.
You say nightmare, I say dream.
There's just so much that's going on. And Aaron said one of Arnold's one-liners, like the movie's chock full of these really cheesy one-liners, but the actors mm-hmm. do it with such conviction. And I think that's what really... is important.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age! I saw a stat today that Arnold Schwarzenegger was paid $25 million to do this movie, and he has 27 puns in the movie. And so that's almost $1 million a pun.
Per pun. That's fantastic.
Money well spent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, why would he not do that movie? Like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's fantastic. In my quick little recap, I said a lot of things that were different from this movie than the comics, but it does get a couple things correct, I think. Jake's looking at me like I'm crazy. I think the origin of Poison Ivy is pretty accurate, as are her superpowers. She's abused by a scientist and done experiments on and all that. That's true to the comics. And also she has a kiss that can either manipulate or kill people depending on which toxins she uses. So that is also correct. Other than that, nothing in this movie is accurate. Some stuff happens to Mr. Freeze's wife. That's about it.
But that wasn't comic book accurate. That was actually based off of the version that they did in the animated series, which was a new version of that character and became the staple for that character going forward after the Heart of Ice episodes.
Yes, actually, yeah, so that's why the animated series, like, really important for Batman that we know now.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, again, another moment where I was kind of upset, even though I like this movie more so than the previous one, it was, this isn't the Mr. Freeze that I know. Mr. Freeze is supposed to be a little more serious, a little more kind of tragic, and, yeah, I don't know. I never really read Mr. Freeze before, the animated series. Was he ever like a campy character, or was this just like they just went right off the rails with this?
No, he was always very vengeful and evil.
Yeah, okay. But he wasn't a very used character. I mean, he was high C level, low B in the villain class. Like, it was the animated series that projected him, and then this movie helped. And even to this day, he's not used all that much in the comic books.
And that's true.
That I think sense. Most people just think of Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, unfortunately.
Indeed. Yeah,
but I really don't like the whole angsty bullshit between Robin and him, especially on Robin's behalf, like just acting like a dipshit most of the fucking movie.
Robin's trying to grow up.
Oh, fuck him.
He's already a grown up. Chris O'Donnell was like 20 something.
That's also true. Yeah,
yeah, he was having a midlife crisis. Like,
quarter life.
Whatever. He's acting like a fucking man child. And I love how not concerned with disguising himself George Clooney is. Like, he is the same in and out of costume.
Yes.
And then, like, Robin is practically identifiable. And then Batgirl comes along, and she's also got her yellow hair out, blonde hair all over the place. Like, these people are not concerned with hiding. They're just out to have a good time.
That hair was famous from Clueless. She had to show it off, so.
That's true. It was true. In her contract.
So true. But it's actually a big deal that she was blonde, because in the comics, Batgirl was always a redhead up to this point.
It has been.
Oh, wow.
It's true. Yeah.
Wow. So they just disregarded so much. They just came up with their own shit.
You know, these movies have, like, I don't think. So keep in mind, like, this is also an era before, like, comic book movies necessarily were, like, we're in an era now where comic book movies reference the source material a lot more than back then.
They do.
Yeah.
And where did that begin, though?
They also put out three a year now instead of one every 3 years.
Yes.
Yes.
Also true. And I think that referencing, for sure, in terms of Batman, definitely started with the next movie, which is Batman Begins. But
Batman Begins.
Any last closing thoughts on Val Kilmer or even George Clooney? Because we really talked about the movies, but what about these guys?
Other than, like, I felt like Val Kilmer was the first time that I felt the difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman, but I didn't feel that at all with George Clooney.
No, yeah, George Clooney, they didn't really develop Batman. It was really more of a Robin story. It was like, kind of Robin trying to grow up.
Yeah, he was there.
For sure.
I think that Val Kilmer was a little too serious.
Yeah.
And just, like, I don't know, like, I, even though there was, like, a clear divide between the two egos, I don't see why anyone found him appealing.
That was definitely my favorite part of Val Kilmer, the divide.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things he did get right.
Overall,
I didn't think he was very charming.
Yes.
Which I think you need an element for, especially with Bruce Wayne.
Of course, he's supposed to be a playboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I always thought Clooney was too old. Like, I don't know how old the actor actually was, but I always just see him as, like, an old grumpy man. And I don't know. I was never on the sexy Clooney bandwagon.
No, never with his Julius Caesar haircut?
No.
Is that what it's called?
The Caesar do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, sweet. So Batman Begins.
Let's go.
A whole new era.
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins is the first of the Nolan trilogy, the revival of the series, and you have a very playboyish Bruce Wayne with Christian Bale, and he comes back from being away from Gotham and Alfred and his life, trying to find adventure and find the excitement that he's needing, trying to figure out who he is. We get introduced to Ra's al Ghul and the Scarecrow, Jonathan Crane, our villains in this one. And then we have
Cillian
Batman
Murphy, yes.
Rising up into what his role will be to start saving Gotham.
Batman Begins. So this movie, I feel like, is responsible for, like, the whole new era of superhero movies that we got in the 2000s, essentially. Because a couple years later, Iron Man came out. That started everything on Marvel's end. But then, like, even though DC has not done as well as Marvel, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like this whole re-looking at comic book movies with, like, they're not just silly young movies anymore, if people thought that that's what they were, kind of started with Nolan's interpretation.
I disagree. I think it actually started more so with Spider-Man and X-Men, because they both came out, like, a couple of years before.
Spider-Man, you think so?
Yeah,
because Spider-Man was still kind of like a... Because Sam Raimi did it, so it was a lot more fun. It wasn't very serious.
There was an element of seriousness to those movies. It
was pretty serious when Peter's strolling down the streets, swinging his arms, wearing.
Yeah, the third one is the third. I would say the third one is the one where that all goes to hell. But no, the first one of but we're not talking about Spider-Man, because that could be a whole different episode.
Well, no, but I
would say this is the
I think those two movies you mentioned are the first times, X-Men and Spider-Man, the first times that the movie fit what the comic fans expected. And then they wanted to do that with Batman. They wanted to do that with Superman. You guys said before that, you know, the movies up to this point had been made for kids. They had been made for entertainment. And now they realize they could sell tickets if they made it for fanboys and for the mm-hmm. people who had put so much of their lives into these characters already.
Mm. Yeah.
So let's talk, right? So let's actually talk about that, right? Because I think one of the smartest marketing gimmicks that I think comic book, comic book movie creators kind of figured out was like, if we reference source materials and fans can pick out what it is, like they're going to gravitate towards it more. So what is the source material for this story? What would you guys say?
Batman Year One, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, Batman Year One, books like The Shaman, anything dealing with, you know, Batman's early training. That was a big thing that was not in pop culture, other than if you had to read the books to find those stories.
Well, we read Tales of the Demon that had a lot of early Ra's al Ghul stories. Was any of that in here, Jake or Aaron?
I think parts of it maybe were, you know, kind of tied to it, but I can't remember specifics, though.
They gave a unique spin on the Ra's al Ghul character, him being immortal through the idea that people will continue his legacy, and you don't really know who's behind the League of Shadows. But the idea that there is a League of Shadows in the comics, it's always been the League of Assassins that Ra's and Talia are in charge of, and then eventually Bruce's son is a part of, and they're trained ninjas that always come after you. And then the Jonathan Crane, that was a very true representation of the psychiatrist who...
Cillian Murphy. Sorry, distraction.
Cillian Murphy. No, yeah, I mean, Cillian Murphy was great in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was very true to the character.
I think outside of the main characters like Bruce Wayne and Alfred, he's the only other character that... And Gordon, he's one of the other characters that was consistently throughout all of the trilogy. He would make cameo appearances in the next
year. Expanding the universe, like you mentioned, Gordon and the rest of the police force, Commissioner Loeb or Leb, whatever he is in this, is taken from Year One. There's a lot of stories mm-hmm. out of Year One, and then they expand into the rest of the lesser known comics.
No, I agree. And I think, so when this movie came out, I personally had gotten back into starting to read more and more Batman comics, and I think it's obvious it's kind of Christopher Nolan's kind of almost the way he treated the source material with such respect mm-hmm. is kind of what made me watch. I'm not gonna lie, I watched Batman Begins in theaters I think 3 times when it came out. That's one of the only movies I've ever done that with. It struck a chord, and then that chord would be struck again when Batman The Dark Knight comes out.
So what I think is really cool is that we were on the same page with Mask of the Phantasm. We are not on the same page with Batman Begins. I did not like this movie. I have fallen asleep multiple times trying to watch it. It's too source material for me. And with the sources being the things that I'm not interested in, I think it's great. I'm glad it exists. But I kind of tuned out until The Dark Knight, which you just referenced. Which really...
I agree. I would agree with you. The Dark Knight is the better movie. I think for kind of creating the origins for a character. And I think it was also kind of telling the story. Like, this movie was not necessarily just about Batman. It was also the theme throughout the whole movie, which I think they did very well, was this idea of fear. Fear was a constant theme throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Batman using fear. Ra's al Ghul's use of fear. The Scarecrow, how he uses fear and stuff. I think it's just... Again, I from a storytelling perspective, it had a theme. It had like a kind of an overall message it's just trying to tell, and it landed for me.
You know, for someone who is very concerned with storytelling, I'm surprised that you applaud this, because I agree with Ben. This shit is boring as fuck.
What do you find boring?
I find Christopher Nolan's pacing to be very off. I feel like he doesn't understand what pacing is. He doesn't know how to exit out of a scene to have it leave. Like, I think his characters talk a little too much, which is surprising. I think that overall he's a creative person, but he actually doesn't really understand writing.
I don't disagree with you. Some of the writing could be not good, specifically with women. Rachel Dawes, I think, is problematic as a character.
Well, it's also the Dawson's Creek girl, right?
That's Rachel Dawes. Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. Like, it was not originally written to be a female character. That was actually supposed to be the original draft of the script was supposed to be Harvey Dent. it was going to be, what's it called? It would introduce Rachel Dawes as Harvey Dent.
Mm.
And that would kind of set up why his tragedy in the next movie would be much more tragic.
Gotcha.
But they didn't go that route because the studio wanted a love interest for Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're starting to get some studio interference because for some reason, all our male superheroes need to have a love interest.
And of course, I think that's otherwise they're gay. You can't have that.
Batman doesn't.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I also think that, I don't know, it just like, it kind of forgot to have fun along the way. So like halfway through, I forgot for sure. And then it's just like, okay, there's no real, for me as a person who doesn't know the comic books, and it's not like, oh, and this is that scene where this happens and that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not experiencing that at all. I'm watching a film. I get very bored and very like, I don't even know what's going on, and never do I care.
It's so interesting. So I, and easily because I was a huge, by this point, I was a big Batman fanboy, and like my go-to was always Batman, the animated series. This one just hit so many notes for me that I just like, I can capture it. I don't disagree with you that like, I think, and there's a problem that a lot of comic book movies now have, it's just like these movies are made for fans.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was kind of the beginnings of that kind of trend that would happen.
Yeah.
It still hadn't, it still wouldn't be the mess that like Batman versus Superman is.
Oh no, nothing's that much of a mess.
I think that all of them, out of all of them, the most entertaining one is The Dark Knight, and even that is like 35 minutes too long.
Oh, disagree.
I think that, but you're also, you're as it's interesting though because you look at it as someone who's really familiar with the source material. Like, I wonder if someone who doesn't know anything about Batman and like his origin stories or anything about him would still enjoy it. And let's put aside the fact that yes, there's great performances in this. Yes, it's very impressive cinematography, but the pacing is shit. These movies are too long. These scenes,
I don't know,
go on for too. It's boring.
I really.
You could have a good performance by Heath Ledger and still be bored out of your fucking mind.
I don't know. I think the pacing for these movies, I thought always were good. I think the one that I kind of had the worst pacing was the final one of the trilogy.
The Dark Knight Rises. Again, really long. Oddly enough, super preachy. And I was like, why is this movie trying to preach to me about like how to be a good fucking person? And that movie also had like a 10-minute ending sequence where I was like, why is this taking so long?
Yes, it did. I agree with you there. I do agree with you.
And then it was just like over-sentimental. And I'm like, actually, movie, we just want you to end.
I just realized like all of them were kind of preachy in a certain way.
In a certain, yeah. But this one had like super on the nose moments. Like there's this like one moment in the third one where like Anne Hathaway's walking through the streets and like she just witnesses, I forget what it was because I tried to block the movie out of my memory. But she just like witnesses this like event that happens that like really breaks her heart. And she's like, oh my God, like humanity, like what are we doing? And it's like, fuck, like, no. Okay, this is what I was seeing in Catwoman.
But
where are your like sassy one-liners?
This is also, mind you, this is during the 1% like movement that was going on.
If this is the one thing that I get to see that reflected in movies, then that's also like a problem. This is what I want to escape from that. I don't want to see that in my Batman movie.
I don't disagree with you. I agree with you. I think Batman, The Dark Knight Rises is the weakest of the trilogy. Obviously, that I think we could all agree that The Dark Knight is the strongest one. I don't think necessarily the pacing was ever wrong. Even it's hard for me, I guess. Like I can't say if just, like if I wasn't a fan, like how I would feel about this movie, because obviously, I can't.
You can't.
I just can't.
Are you guys big fans of these movies?
I love The Dark Knight.
I liked all three of them.
I don't like the first or third, but I love The Dark Knight. And it really is the performances and the emotion. Like, I'm really, like, I cry in movies a lot. So, like, when she dies and Two-Face turns and all this stuff, I'm, like, sobbing in the movie theater. But then didn't really care in the bookend, like, in the first and third ones. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, I mean, the Rachel Dawes character was played by a stronger performer, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
For sure.
Yes, great.
You know, that also kind of helps. I'm not saying they're perfect movies. I think they are for sure. But they do become a staple for what comic book movies would, you know, try to become.
For sure.
Easily. Like, what's it called? And I know this is a trend that you most certainly hate.
I don't like it.
You are not a fan of, like, that dark, gritty storytelling.
I'm just a fan of the Adam West approach where it's like, guys, let's just, like, have fun. And movies are losing that more and more.
Yeah, these definitely were not your Adam West, Burt Ward, have fun Batman movies. These were very much the dark, telling a story, trying to get you emotionally vetted in the characters and what's going on, and trying to get you to see that you know, the fallibility of Bruce and the ability to put what he thinks is right in place and to make the changes that he thinks he needs to do. Yeah, I could see they go, some of them did go a little long. I would agree with you there, but you know, I thought overall the trilogy itself is pretty much the defining comic book trilogy, in my opinion, for like setting the story up, bringing them to conclusion. There were no bat nipples, so you know, it doesn't have everything.
Dang it.
But there was one hell of a bad voice. I think Christian Bale was one of the first people who was like, I'm going to make my Bruce Wayne and my Batman miles apart from each other.
I hate the voice so much. I love the voice.
You hate the voice?
I hate his the voice.
His voice could be a little, yeah, the voice could be like hit or miss sometimes for me.
This city just showed you that it's full of people ready to believe in good.
So since we're comparing the different Batman through these movies, one thing that I love so much, going back a little bit to Kevin Conroy, is that I feel like a lot of these actors changed their voice for Batman into this like dark, gruff, I am Batman. And I don't love that. But Kevin Conroy, I feel, is just himself when he's Batman. But then when he's Bruce Wayne, he affects his voice and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm flamboyant. And he changes
it there. He definitely goes up an octave.
Oh, for sure. And that's why I like that portrayal, because it's like, I am Batman and Bruce Wayne is the fake character, where all these other ones, they're like hurting their throats trying to talk. And I'm like, they don't care. They're getting punched in the face. They don't care what you sound like.
Yeah, I heard Will Arnett really had some throat problems for a while after doing the Lego movies.
Oh, that's so funny. I thought that was like, I love Will Arnett. That's a, I personally do enjoy that voice. That like, because it's mocking it, obviously, but yeah, it's a real, it's a good one. It's like, it is a good rendition of what actors try to make the Batman voice be.
Yeah, but I thought his Bruce Wayne, I found he kind of wanted to portray his Bruce Wayne as more kind of like, to put it lightly, a jackass. Like, I didn't
Christian
get
Bale, or are you talking about Will Arnett?
Yes, Christian Bale. I didn't watch the Lego Batman movie.
And he
Batman
was hot
movie.
Again, which is important.
Yeah. But I was told that Batman's supposed to be very charming, suave, sexy as Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. But I did not get that at all from Christian Bale.
Because Christian Bale is trying to play Bruce Wayne as a pompous, arrogant asshole. So Christian Bale
actually has three performances as Batman. Like me.
but Christian Bale performed Bruce Wayne like two ways, and then Batman as a third, right? He performed Bruce Wayne like with just Alfred, or like when he's plotting or something, right?
Yeah,
that was a different performance than what he plays like when he's supposed to be in the public, yeah, which was kind of that arrogant, pompous kind of you know, ne'er-do-well character.
I understood why he made that choice. I didn't care for that Bruce Wayne though, because I feel like Bruce Wayne as a very charismatic, giving person is supposed to be an important part of his character, and he kind of changed that for his own personal choice, I suppose. I don't know why.
I don't know that any of the three movies were trying to tell a story about Bruce Wayne other than the love story. I think all three of them, especially the second and the third one, are driven by their villains, which most Batman stories end up being. Like, you have a little bit of Batman in the background to kind of get it going, but really it's the villains that are telling your story, and they're the reflection of the Batman that's in your movie or your comic book. And so I think, I don't know, I didn't like the love stories that were in them, because I think creating that character, Rachel Dawes, didn't make a lot of sense for him.
Yeah. But they killed her.
Yeah. Which
I like that part.
Yeah, that part was cool. But no, I mean, overall, yeah, I'm not a fan of his filmmaking. I don't think he's the visionary that everyone claims he is. And I'm disappointed in his Batmans. But, you know, having said that, there's no one that does it worse than Zack Snyder does.
Ugh, Zack Snyder. That's an excellent segue.
Good segue. Yes.
Thank you.
So, Zack Snyder's Batman vs. Superman. I actually forgot what year it came out. It wasn't that one.
2016.
All right, so Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice comes out in 2016. So Batman v Superman drops in summer, I want to say. It was a follow-up to what's it called, Zack Snyder's Man of Steel.
March.
Okay. And it was a follow-up to Man of Steel, which was kind of came out not a great big box office draw, and it was also kind of like lukewarm reviews.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that DC and Warner Brothers would, you know, decide to like kind of inject some life into this, introduce Batman into this Zack Snyder universe. And
not just Batman, but other people too. Like, they bit off a lot in that movie.
This is true. They do. And I think that's also a big problem in this movie. But the main storyline is that Batman saw the destruction that Superman caused, and he decides, it's just like, Superman is too strong for this world. I'm going to bring him down. And in the process of him trying to bring down Superman, Lex Luthor, who was introduced as played by Jesse Eisenberg for some reason. Lex Luthor is involved somehow. He ends up, he wants to create a Doomsday, and Doomsday ends up killing Superman, and Batman starts beginning to form the Justice League because Wonder Woman shows up. And that is basically my takeaway. Basically, this movie's all leading up to like a big fight scene between Batman versus Superman, as the title implies. And a lot of people were very upset that the fight ends when Superman, for some reason, says Martha, despite the fact that Martha is his mother. Why is he calling her Martha?
Yeah.
Not like, not mom, my mother. So he's like, Martha. Just like, and Bruce Wayne's mother's name is Martha. And it's just like, what? How do you know Martha? It's kind of silly and dumb.
Yeah.
Great costume design, though, I think. I will say that. The Batman costume is, out of all of them, might be my favorite one out of all of them.
The costume?
I like the... Yeah, I love... I'm actually a fan of, like, the gray on black on screen. I think it looked good.
Well, I think he was the first one that looked like the Batman I had in my head. Like, he was just a big, giant, beefy, mess-you-up kind of guy.
You know, as much as I don't like Ben Affleck, and I don't like Ben Affleck.
Wait, why? Because he broke Jennifer Lopez's heart?
No, just because I other than that.
Whose heart did he break?
There's just
J-Lo.
J-Lo's heart.
She might have broken his, though. I don't know.
He just kind of looks like a douchebag. Like, he opens his mouth and I'm like, you're a fucking douchebag. So, but like, he's just one of those guys.
Bruce Wayne be that way?
Well, interestingly enough, though, I actually thought his Bruce Wayne was pretty good.
I agree with you. I actually think his Bruce Wayne wasn't bad. Actually, his Batman wasn't bad at all. It was a bad script. His performance as Batman and Bruce Wayne actually was not terrible. The movie itself could be bad and is flawed, but like when it comes to the actual Batman, performance-wise, is actually good.
Yes.
Story-wise.
I was very excited for it when it was cast, but I feel like he had a bad script. He didn't have the opportunity to shine like he should have.
Yeah. And on top of that, like, Zack Snyder is kind of a very hammy director. He's like too in your face about like what his message is, and he's and symbolism specifically too.
Yeah, no, Zack Snyder is kind of like how George Lucas was when he did the Star Wars prequel, where like no one was telling him that this was not good, or he just wasn't listening. Like, that's how Zack Snyder comes off.
It was brilliant, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so
I didn't finish it, I'll be honest. So I didn't see the Martha thing because I really just I couldn't do it.
Same, I fell asleep.
Where did you stop, Nicole?
Oh God, I stopped pretty early.
How early? The movie's the movie. Wait, no, because the movie's actually pretty long.
Yeah, awesome. That's also why I saw the runtime and I'm like, I can't do this.
It's like
it was like 2.5 hours. He's at like some sort of.
It's so much longer.
I felt like I got enough of a sense of his Bruce Wayne and his Batman when I shut it off. He's like at a banquet or something, or like an art gallery as Bruce Wayne, and he's just like showing face. Yeah,
that's when he meets Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
Yes. So there.
Okay. Yeah, it's like that's about the halfway point.
I was nudged awake at one point by my husband being like, "Hey, look, Wonder Woman's on the screen." I was like, "Oh, cool, babe," and then I fell back asleep. Like, I couldn't. I have not finished it.
They told me the world only makes sense if you force it to.
No, it's a rough watch, especially because like this whole movie, this one is a movie that I think has terrible pacing.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Like, this is not a very well paced movie. I mean the worst part about the pacing of the movie is like there's a scene that they kind of just like throw in there with Wonder Woman kind of doing her research and discovering all the new members of the Justice League, right? This is like a 8-minute sequence that is just setting up future movies, and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
It's just right. not, like, this is where I go into, like, that's just not good storytelling.
But to be fair, most of these fucking movies these days are just concerned with setting up their sequels anyway, not, so it's not...
to this degree.
I suppose. Well, Marvel, they're like,
it's a lot more time making individual movies and then brought them all together mm-hmm. later, whereas DC's like, we can do it in one movie, that's fine. Everyone will be into this. It's totally cool.
That's mm-hmm. true.
And it was
They just wanted to rush it.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And Justice League came out the next year, right?
No, 2 years later.
2 years later? How was Justice League?
Terrible.
Wow, that's such a disappointment.
Garbage. Well... that movie also has its own problems where Zack Snyder kind of had to step down because his daughter committed suicide. And then...
Allegedly.
I agree with you. There is a conspiracy theory there. I think Warner Brothers may have murdered someone.
Yeah, that's like, we got to get this guy out of our and fucking then, lives.
What's his name? Buffy creator, Joss Whedon. He comes in to kind of finish it off. And there's like a weird tone that this movie never figures out.
Mm.
But again, Batman, Batfleck, not terrible. You know, if we're talking about a character specifically, I think he looks the part, because uh-huh. I think Ben Affleck is handsome enough to be Bruce Wayne, and especially with like some nice dignified grays, I was here for it. He's jacked, and he looks good in the costume. I think my biggest complaint is just like the script. It was just like so weak. It's just really, and like, and now here's where you guys can come into this conversation specifically, because like this movie is really working hard to kind of fit into a specific comic book.
Yes. Well, we talked about earlier, The Dark Knight Returns is famous for Batman versus Superman. It's the fight mm-hmm. that pitted these two. It's an alternate future story where Superman works for the government and Batman doesn't, and he wants to lead a rebellion, and they end up fighting each other. The suit that Batman wears in this, the armored suit, is a direct adaptation.
That's
from that
why
comic.
You like it. I see now.
Right,
it's true.
I will admit, I do enjoy the action sequences all the way up till the finale. I don't like the finale of this movie, but the action sequences of Batman versus Superman are just—they're a lot of fun. Like,
yeah,
you get to see Batman
about,
kick Superman's ass around, and that's all.
Were you talking about
time.
Batman and Superman versus Doomsday?
No, Doomsday I mix, right? very much dislike the Doomsday part. I like just Batman okay. fighting Superman, Batman in his armor, and it's always that idea in the Batman fandom that like Batman can beat anybody if he has enough time to prep. And so like they show Batman doing all this prep, and then mm-hmm. Superman squashes all his hopes and dreams with one line. It's like, I'll kill you in a second if I wanted to. Like, stop doing this. And
which is true.
It is true.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a lot of fan service. This movie
yes.
took all of the best parts of people's beloved comics and smashed them into this nightmare of a movie.
Tell us how you really feel.
And that's so interesting, right? Because I think here's the problem with Zack Snyder. He's not really a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
He just isn't. But he is good at kind of capturing moments. And that's why, if you look at his trailers, like his trailers really make you feel like, oh my God, I cannot wait for this movie, because he's able to film these moments that look great on camera.
Yeah.
But when it comes to telling a story, it's just like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Maybe he should just make
trailers. Don't talk about music video.
He should just make trailers.
Yeah.
That should be literally his only job in Hollywood.
Yeah. That's you're right about that. He should just be a music video director, because he's just purely good
yeah.
at cool visuals. Not even
ooh, those would be like, some badass music videos.
Yeah, he has a great visual
yeah.
style, but it just he can't tell a story.
No, not mm-hmm. at all.
Agreed. Yeah. But yeah, and that's our current Batman.
So our next Batman's coming in what, a year? Two
actually,
years?
Yeah, I don't know the
I think it's 2021.
Currently it's 2021.
Yes. Crazy.
2021. Okay, the Batman, I think it's being called.
With Robert Pattinson. What are our thoughts on this?
He's already been a vampire, so basically a bat. Kidding, I hate it. I don't like it at all.
You don't.
I mean, I don't know. I want there to be a Robin. Like, I'm so over the Batman movies. I realize I do a Batman podcast, but my shtick is to kind of be over it. And I am like, I'll see it. And I thought he was cute when he was in the Harry Potter movie, but I'm over him.
Interesting.
I agree. I think that the Batman portrayal in movies and TVs needs something, because we also didn't cover the fact that there are television shows and all of this stuff that is just has so much Batman in our pop culture.
Yeah, no, yeah. Batman,
so I'm
DC's
over it
most
too.
Used, they, yeah, DC just overuses him.
Yeah, because everything. Warner Brothers apparently doesn't have anything else. But like, I think that if they're gonna do another Batman movie,
although they've been finding some success with like Aquaman and Shazam.
Yeah,
but they're not not household
do
names.
That again.
Yeah, but they're not household names like Batman. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah,
like, everyone knows Batman.
It's just a shame. I think that the portrayal in movie and TVs like that needs something else, and a Robin would be a nice touch, or maybe just like wait 10 years and then give us a new Batman movie because we need a break.
I agree with you there. I think we do need a break from Batman, and kind of DC has like a wonderful roster of other characters that they can use.
Yeah,
you know, Superman, like a good Superman movie is still something that we should be striving for.
That too. Yeah,
you know, not a Zack Snyder one.
And what about Green Lantern and The Flash? Yeah. Like, these people need movies. Like, no Batman.
So the Flash TV show is so successful and good that I think a Flash movie would be really hard to not just copy what the Flash TV show did well. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't really need to watch it because Grant Gustin is forever my Flash.
And I think a lot of people had that problem when they were watching Justice League, right? Because, like, it's not Grant Gustin, and that's kind of who our Flash is at the moment.
Right.
It was Ezra Miller, who I actually think Ezra Miller wasn't terrible, but like he wasn't. Grant Gustin has like kind of, he looks like when you see him, you think, okay, I can see why he's a Flash. He's tall, lanky, slender. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could run.
And he's had what, five or six seasons to develop the character now. Like you can just do so much more with TV shows sometimes, unfortunately. Movies, you don't have that much time. You kind of either get it or you don't, which was Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern, to go back to what you were saying about Green Lantern.
So yeah, so that's the last of Batman. What's it called? Yeah, Batfleck, and the future
Batman.
Robert Pattinson. We'll see what happens there.
We usually like to do a quick lightning round. So
yeah, let's do a quick lightning
We're gonna
round.
Do a lightning round, and everyone's gonna go around and say their favorite Batman.
Uh huh.
Lightning round.
I'll start. My favorite Batman is Adam West.
Gross.
You're gross. Shut the fuck up. Love Adam West. He's great because
he looks like a terrible Batman is a problem.
I think that he's great as Bruce Wayne. He's charming. He's debonair. I like his style. I think he's a good detective. I like his deductive reasoning. I like his dedication to his job. I like his law abidingness and the fact that anytime he punches someone, it goes bam.
Oh, I do like that. I do. I
that's awesome.
That.
And that's, it's that's at the end of the day, it's fun. And his villains are the most exciting and fun. Like,
sometimes
and the laughs
goes, pow.
Of Caesar and Moore.
The pow.
And the pow. Yeah, just all that
clank.
Stuff. Kablam. But yeah, I don't know. I think that Adam West really also kickstarted our, like, he was so good as Batman, and all of that was just like, it worked so well that like people liked Batman a lot more because of it.
Batman actually almost got, like, as a comic is, oh, actually, you guys confirmed this or not. This is my understanding, but, like, I thought Batman as a comic book almost died because of the Adam West Batman.
The sales in the late 60s were dying, and it wasn't until they revamped the character back into that darker, scarier version that we're more familiar with that he was able to keep selling comics. But it was one of the lowest selling DC books for a while.
Yeah. This is not how we're remembering Adam West's legacy, guys. It's okay.
But it's a fact.
Remember how you want, Nicole. You're right.
It's so good now. They make new comic books about him. So like you can just keep
That's
buying
true.
Those
yeah.
and reading
yeah.
those.
Yeah.
Because everyone exactly.
The nostalgia factor is.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Sure. Something like
All right,
that.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Yeah, go.
Okay. My favorite Batman is Kevin Conroy from the animated series. That voice is just what I hear when I read Batman comics. It's what I grew up with. He's the first one I had. And like I point out earlier, I really like his distinction between Batman and Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I agree with you 100%. So I'll go next just because I agree with you 100%. Kevin Conroy is my Batman as well.
And I knew you were going to say that, so I had to go first.
Yeah. he defined the character for me. I would say the next one would then be Christian Bale, because you know they told a trilogy, they told like a beginning to end a storyline. You know,
yeah. What about you, Jake?
Well, I mean, I said it early on. My Batman is always going to be Michael Keaton. I think it takes a certain kind of deranged individual to dress as a giant bat in a rubber suit and go out and fight crime, and Keaton always had that like that off his rocker just enough that he could go do that, and I really I mean his Bruce Wayne isn't the best, but him in costume, him fighting crime, I believed it 100%. I would have put a cape on and gone out and done it with him if he asked me to be Robin. So,
aww. Who would Aaron have said, Jake?
Aaron would have said Christian Bale if he had been here, I think.
Or Adam West. Aww.
Okay. Or Adam West, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We all agree that Affleck was not the one. Not the one.
See, I had the highest hopes for Affleck. I really had great things in my mind, and I think he did too. And I think he just had a shitty script and it wasn't given the chance.
Yeah, he did. And he was also going through a lot of personal troubles at the time as well.
Yeah.
It just was not working out for him. There's a great joke on The Good Place where Tahani is talking about how she was helping out her friend, like try to make better life choices. And then he comes back and says, I'm going to be the next Batman. And she was talking about Ben Affleck.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
I love that.
But yeah. But yeah. But no, thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This was
really great. Tell people where they can find you.
Sure. You can find our podcast, The Brotherhood of Batman, anywhere you enjoy listening to podcasts. You can also find us on social media, Instagram, The Brotherhood of Batman, which is where you guys found us.
Or on Facebook. Yeah, we do a lot on Facebook. Not all the time on Instagram, but...
Don't judge me. They contacted me.
And also on Twitter. Anything, you know, just search The Brotherhood of Batman. We come out every Monday. We have a new episode. And we have a lot of weird episodes in between. We talk about comics a lot, but we also do movies, TV shows. And we hope that you guys would want to come on and do a guest spot on our show sometime. Read a comic book for the first time, Nicole.
Yeah. That would be great. Like a first time reader.
Yeah, sure.
We'll pick a short one for you, Nicole.
Yay.
Something with bright
colors. I'm so down.
Guys, be sure to listen to their podcast if you want to learn more about Batman and Batman comics, or just comics in general.
Yes.
Be sure to give them a follow. Nicole, where can people follow us if they haven't yet?
You guys can follow us on Instagram at Remakes Reboots Revivals, Facebook.com/Remakes Reboots Revivals, and you can shoot us an email at Remakes Reboots and Revivals because we'd love to hear your opinions. Like that one time someone gave me shit for not liking Christopher Nolan. Let's get more of those.
Yes, actually, that would have been a good time to read that email. Our email is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
Yes.
So yeah, shoot us an email. We will read them on the air if it piques our interest, and usually it does. So.
Yes. But yes, thank you so much again, Jake and Ben and Aaron.
Yes.
You snuck away. Great. Thanks for having us, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time. Good luck in the new year of your podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you guys too. Well, what do you got going on? Like any big plans for the new year?
Oh my God, Jake has so many books planned and I'm just trudging along. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, we're getting into some dark things this year.
New Robins, new Batgirls, maybe not all of them surviving. So.
Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah. Batman comics.
The drama. I love it.
Alrighty, guys. Well, I guess this is it.
So until next time, stay unoriginal.